when I see people who are constantly posting selfies and pictures of themselves, man, my heart goes out to them, because I think they are genuinely, whether they know it or don't know it, in need of someone to say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're valuable. You want someone to tell you that today. I know you want someone to demonstrate to you that you have worth and value. And this is the cheapest way to get it. This is so far beneath who you are and where your worth is.
I was on your Instagram last night catching up with your stories, and I started laughing because I saw some AI photos of you. You were in a tie and a preppy haircut. What do you think of things like AI and ChatGPT? How do you feel about them, Lecrae?
Personally, I love ChatGPT just because it's like such a cool option, just trying to versus Google. How big is this? And ChatGPT just gives me the answer instead of like looking through a bunch of different things. But certain parts of AI, I'm like, nah, let's stick to regular human interaction. You know what I
right.
mean?
I was laughing though, because I thought, I don't know if I love this look for Lecrae.
The photo stuff, you know, it's not me. I thought it was funny though.
It was funny. Yeah, I get mad because I'll see like an AI house that I love, and I'll be like, this is awesome. Where is this? I might want to do this Airbnb. And then I'll look at it and it's fake. And I'm mad because I don't do well with fake anyway. But then I see a fake AI house, and then I'm really like, I thought I was going to get to rent this place. And then now you've shown me something that.
They do cars like that too. You're like, oh, when is this car? This car is cool. It's like, doesn't exist.
Right.
Great.
Yeah. Perfect. I don't love that. One of the reasons I do like you, though, is because you're not fake. And I appreciate that about you. Yeah, it's true, though. Talking to the legendary Lecrae today, lots of things I could say about him, but let's just say a few. Rapper, singer, songwriter, producer, entrepreneur. I enjoy that about you. And an actor. We're going to talk more about that later on Jesus Over Everything. Here's what your bio on social media says. Believer, thinker, Grammy winner, New York Times bestseller. Which is the most surprising thing to you on this list?
Definitely New York Times bestseller.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, you know, you're writing a book telling your story, and for people to be engaged and interested in your story to the degree where they're buying it and sharing it, and it was wild. And it was kind of wild too, from a whole nother vantage point, because my family, my grandmother is so private, and she just was raised to not divulge information. And so she's like, why are you telling all your business, baby? Yeah. And I was like, well, girl, we're trying to free people. You know, it was like, you don't have to tell people this. And so it was a different thing, but I thought it was necessary.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's tricky when you write. It's tricky because that's my trade. So I get it. Like, it's tricky. And it's tricky because our stories are always attached to someone else's stories. So that's a place of struggle when you're writing, because you don't know, like, how much can I talk about? And I will say, Lecrae, like, for me, sometimes I can't talk about things till people are dead. And that's the reality of it. It sets you free in some ways. I'll just say that. So on that list, believer, thinker, Grammy winner, New York Times bestseller, which was or maybe is even still for you the hardest work? Is it the same answer or some of the other?
I think thinker is the hardest because, for a lot of different reasons, right? Because one, a lot of times, if you're constantly processing, you're growing. And if you're growing, you're changing. And growth and change are difficult.
Yeah.
Insight is easy, but change is hard. Like, just learning something is easy, but actually applying it to your life is hard. And then the other part about it is our culture is not really big on nuance and like process. We like it very simple.
You can say that again.
So. Yeah. So when you present that, it's like they rail against it. And it's like, okay, let me just be quiet because I'm not allowed to process this stuff out here.
I love that you answered thinker. When I saw your list, I thought that to me is one of the hardest things in this culture is to continually be a thinker, because it's easy to go with like groupthink. And what's harder is to say, no, this is what I'm going to think. And more specifically, this is what I'm going to think based on what the Bible tells me. So that's like even harder, right? So I appreciate that you included thinker on your list. I really did. So I had this hunch And I went digging and I was right. I found in one of my books called The Hard Good in this chapter, and here's the title of the chapter, Doing What God Wants Even When It Disappoints Others. Here's the epigraph. You ready? Okay. If you live for people's acceptance, you'll die from their rejection. Lecrae. And so I was like, I think I quoted Lecrae in one of my books, and I was right. So you are an epigraph in my book, Lecrae. Yeah, you're really special now. Now, you're probably an epigraph in a lot of people's books. But talk to me about this idea of doing what God wants, even when it disappoints others. And in particular, your quote.
There's just always going to be a perspective. I mean, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end is death, right? There's just always going to be various perspectives that are not God's perspective. Yeah. You know, when you follow kind of the cultural norm, you don't face a lot of backlash. Mm. When you follow like God's lane, the rocks are going to come flying.
Yeah.
And I had to learn early on that when you're really following Jesus, you're going to look like him.
Yeah.
And looking like him means being persecuted. And persecution is not always just like someone throwing a rock at you or stabbing you or arresting you. It's people shunning you and people distancing themselves and turning their back on you. And that's happened to me in different stages of my life. Mm-hmm. The elementary stage, I call it, when you're just like saying no to sin. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just like, oh no, I'm not going to participate in, you know, going out with you all. I'm following Jesus. And of course, the fun friends shun you. Oh, he's no fun, you know, and that's kind of the early stage. But then it graduates. Man, I'm going to do some of these hard things for God. And people are like, whoa. Now you're being extra. And that's tough because sometimes it's friendly fire. Sometimes it's coming from people who profess to love the Lord, but they don't grasp that you're trying to do the hard things for the Lord. And that gets sticky.
Mm. So in that same vein, you work with a ton of people. How have you navigated collaborating with people who don't share your faith?
Oof. You know what I learned? Just looking at Jesus's life, Jesus didn't hang out with sinners. Sinners hung out with him.
That's good. Now, I mean, honestly, I don't know if I've thought about it that way, Lecrae. That's really, really strong.
Yeah. He embodied the character, the love, the light that attracted people. It was attractive to them. Like, wow, how can you be so gracious, so kind? So how can you stand up for this prostitute? How can you go to the tax collector's house? And it drew people to him. And they said, I want to follow this guy. I want to hang with this guy. And for me, that's what I want to embody, right? There's definitely been times early on where it was more about me trying to hang with them, more about me trying to fit in. But then you find yourself not being authentically who God made you to be. Mm-hmm. And you're being more like them. And now it's less of me trying to fit in and more of me being authentically loving, caring, genuine, godly, having my line in the sand. And they understand that. And that's what genuinely makes them want to come to you. Mm. And so the collaborations are more like them paying homage to what they respect about what God is doing in your life. And they want to kind of connect on some level.
I hear that. Okay. That makes perfect sense. I think that is, to me, that's like saying, I'm going to try to emulate the great one. Like, obviously we can't be God, but we follow God, right? So we try to follow the characteristics of Christ. And in that, it is the way that he set it up to be, right? The natural process is that people are to be drawn to that. It works.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can we talk about Tim Keller for a second?
Absolutely.
To me, it's a natural segue because he is someone who I think embodied Christ so much that people were drawn to him. Certainly, I didn't have the relationship with him that you did. I know it was a personal and special one for you, but I, like many people, were influenced by watching him, reading from him, hearing his messages and sermons. This is what I would say about him from my vantage point. He was utterly brilliant and palpably humble. Mm-hmm. That would be my assessment. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I believe is that we lack humility in spiritual leadership in this country. Mm-hmm. And so what in your opinion, can we learn from Tim Keller about this and about more?
Yeah, I think, you know, you nailed it. He was really just operating in his gifting. Yeah. And if there was ever a person who could broadcast his accomplishments or, you know, pat himself on the back, it was Dr. Keller, right? There are just things that we would not even know. And he didn't take advantage of the position that he was in either. He didn't like use it in some kind of way to sit courtside at the Knicks game every week, you know, which no one would have judged him for. But that wasn't his MO. He genuinely loved the scriptures, loved wrestling with hard things, and then loved synthesizing them and making them available to everyone else. And I think that's what drew people toward him and why people just saw him in the light that they saw him in. The humility was in understanding that it had nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
And he preached that quite often. He talked, you know, the prodigal God and, you know, understanding that we are deeply flawed, but we're deeply loved. Yeah. And I think it was that awareness consistently that created humility within him. And he finished well, which is what a lot of leaders, I think when they read their own press clippings, it makes it really difficult to finish well because you're so caught up in you and what you're doing and not caught up in the kingdom and how, you know, you can kind of get in line with what God is doing and play your part in that.
Hi, friend. Breaking in real quick to tell you something fun about a Black Special Friday deal. If you are an LW friend and you get my weekly newsletter in your inbox, you know I love sharing links to my favorite products and inexpensive finds for the home and personal clothing items as well sometimes. So as we gear up for the holidays, I have a special treat for you to make shopping even easier this year. My team has graciously compiled an entire gift guide featuring all the things that I've loved and shared in 2023. So if you've missed anything from my favorite heated mattress pad to that cute, inexpensive jacket with puff sleeves, visit lisawhittle.com/Black Friday to get your gift guide today. You can show your family member what to get for you without hunting for it, or buy it for someone you love. I hope that helps you. Again, that's lisawhittle.com/Black Friday for all the things I shared in my LW Friends newsletter all year. And hey, if you want to be an LW friend, head to lisawhittle.com/updates to get those weekly newsletters to stay in touch more often. Okay, back to the show. Let me just ask you this. I wasn't going to ask you this, but just on this note, what do you think about social media and the way that it plays with our faith? Because, and I don't mean plays with, I just mean like plays into, because on one hand, what anybody does who's in any kind of place that needs to get the word out, whether it be about music, whether it be about books, whether it be about your sermon series, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. It can get convoluted though, because it adds to this whole thing that gets to your head, the hype, whatever the case may be. How have you like reconciled social media?
It's by design. You know, that's the way it was designed. It was designed to be a slot machine of endorphins that once you get a like or you get a good response, you feel better about yourself. It was designed to play on the reality that a lot of us struggle for identity and self-worth. Yeah. And this is a cheap way, a cheap, quick way to get a hit of self-worth and value. You know, when I was a kid, it was being a movie star or, you know, being on TV. That was the ultimate form of you are valuable. And now it's how many likes, how many followers, how many views are in some kind of way a litmus test for your value in this world. And I think that's the shame of it. So when I see people who are constantly posting selfies and pictures of themselves, man, my heart goes out to them because I think they are genuinely, whether they know it or don't know it, in need of someone to say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're valuable. And I know you want someone to tell you that today. I know you want someone to demonstrate to you that you have worth and value. And this is the cheapest way to get it, but that's not, this is so far beneath who you are and where your worth is. You know, social media has, I think, a practical use, you know, for advertising or broadcasting. It's like there's good practical uses for it. But once it seeps into your being in the depth of of forming your identity, that's when it's dangerous. And that's when you see the depression and the anxiety and all the things that we're seeing rise up. And it's a new thing too. The last thing I'll say is it's new. We're only on the cusp of it. It hasn't even been around 20 years. Yeah. So we don't know what the long-term effects of social media is on our society. And that's where it can be dangerous to just dive headfirst.
Yeah, so true. So you are in a movie.
I am.
You are in a movie. Yes, that's true. Not were. You are in a movie. Journey to Bethlehem. The angel Gabriel, you are. They have you looking regal on there, by the way. I was really impressed. Gold lip ring and all. Growing up, as you say, in the hood, did you ever think you'd be a literal angel, Lecrae?
That's a good, I like the way you put that. Never. I think I would absolutely be floored at, one, the reality that I'm playing an angel in the movie, but just two, my life in general. It'd be like, what? I'm some kind of like God-fearing, what is this? You know?
Yeah. Your bio would probably have freaked you out. Like, could you even imagine?
Freaked me all the way out. Freaked me all the way out. So it's really an honor. To me, Denzel Washington a long time ago said something about he wanted to make sure he was in redemptive pictures. Mm. And whatever role he's playing, whether he's a criminal or a hero, as long as the ultimate story is redemptive. And I took that to heart as far as this movie is concerned. And I said, man, I want to be a part of a redemptive story. And there's no greater redemptive story than the birth of Christ and Mary and Joseph. So I was really honored to take on this role.
I loved it. I loved seeing you in that role. I'm sure you've gotten tons of offers to be in movies before. Why this movie?
Yeah. Well, one, I believe God is the best creator, the greatest creator in existence. And I just want to be a part of things that are done in excellence. Yeah. Adam Anders has a track record of excellence, Glee, High School Musical. He's a great musician, writer. And I knew what he was going to put his hands to was going to be done very well. And he was going to honor God and honor the scriptures, but at the same time, honor the craftsmanship. Yeah. And you know, a lot of times Christians get participation trophies because we're talking about God and art. But again, we were talking about Tim Keller, and he's one of the people that drove that thought into me that we are reflectors of the greatest artist of all. So let's make good art. And that's why I wanted to be a part of this.
I loved it. It was quality. And I think that's so, so important. I really did love it. Great Christmas movie, but also any time of the year to tell pretty closely, a few liberties, but I will tell you, it was greatly told, the greatest story ever told. Did anything surprise you about making it?
Well, outside of just having to be stretched as an actor, you know, I had to get an acting coach just to, you know, you're on set with like these brilliant people who this is all they do. So I didn't want to do a disservice to them. So I was surprised at the level of work and intensity that it took. I mean, you know, my role was relatively small compared to like Fiona, who's the lead character. And I had to do a lot of work. So her workload was crazy, you know, so that was surprising. And then the other thing I think is the spiritual warfare. Mm. There's just always something going on. It's like, you don't just get to put a message out about Jesus to millions of people and expect there to be no like opposition. So there were just trials and tribulations, you know, issues where people are in fear of their lives because something happened on set, animals. I mean, there was a situation where a guy accidentally like paraglided into the set, and it was like money being, there's all kinds of crazy stuff happening. So you're just like, you know, is this just coincidental? Is this Satan opposition? Like what's happening here?
But, right.
You know, you're just working through all those things.
Wow. That's so true. I mean, you get this is an incredible message to be out to the world that the greatest story ever told, that obviously Satan's going to hate that. So, I mean, let's not discount what those crazy things might be going on, because we do battle with a supernatural world. So let's just go ahead and say that right now. Journey to Bethlehem. It's a great movie. You've got to go see it. Take your family. It is incredible. Okay. So by the time this airs, you will have been on tour for the final church close tour part two. What will you be doing now after the tour is over?
It's time to find ways to express deeper, more impactful things in realms other than music.
Mm.
And so I'm asking God for that, you know, personally. I'm saying, God, lead me to where I can articulate what you've put in me in another way, you know? And so I'm just seeking his face in that regard. So I got open hands and that's really what it is. I'm just praying through that. And I got open hands to see what the Lord will do.
Lecrae, I love your heart. I love your creativeness. I love that you're a thinker. I love that you're an entrepreneur. I love how solid you are. I just need you to know I have a lot of respect for you. And I think that you have been an incredible witness for Jesus Christ. And so I just need you to hear that. And I need you to know that on behalf of all the listeners, but also just from my heart, I just want you to hear that today. I have one last question. I ask it of every single guest that comes on this show, Jesus over everything. And Jesus over everything is not a soundbite. It is not a bumper sticker. It is not a slogan. It is a strategy for life. And I believe it. It's based on Colossians 1:17, that in him, all things hold together, that he is before all things and he is to be preeminent. And so my last question, and I can't wait to hear your answer because I know you love Jesus. Lecrae, what's the last thing you would say about Jesus if you could only say one more thing?
Wow, man. There's so much we say that becomes cliche. The power and the meaning of it is just pulled out because it's said over and over and over again. And when you say something like, he's a redeemer, it's like, oh yeah, I heard that in a song and I can just throw that cliche term out. But redemption is taking something that has lost value or has no value and using it and adding value to it and restoring it to its original value or intent. I don't think we understand how broken and destroyed we are as people. And so that picture of redemption may not be as valuable as it should be, but man, I have seen just life in the darkest pits of existence. I have sat across from people incarcerated who felt like they were the human waste of society. And I felt that way myself at times. And to know that God would condescend, make himself into a baby that has to be breastfed, be raised, live for 33 years and then face the worst possible type of death in order to demonstrate that we have worth and value and bring us back to our original intent. I mean, he's a redeemer, like to the fullest extent. And so I just want people to know wherever you are, whatever you've done, wherever kind of life you have lived, you are never past the point of redemption and restoration. Because of Jesus.
Nothing more to say. Thank you. Amen. You've been listening to Jesus Over Everything with Lisa Whittle. Follow us on Instagram. Subscribe to us wherever you get podcasts. Hey, would you do something for me? If you love this show, would you head to your favorite place to listen and leave me a great rating and review for the podcast? It helps so much to expose this show to more people and in turn, share the good news of Jesus.